And welcome to ABW Radio Live. I am your host, Chris, as I always am. Still ugly, that's me. I'm joined by John, and I'm joined by Carl. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
How are we all? Are we okay? John, you had quite an interesting night, I think I gather.
Yeah.
To say the very least.
The less said about that, the better, yeah.
Absolutely. And Carl, how's Boris?
Still a donut, but, you know, he's leaving soon. Yes.
Happy days. Right, that's the niceties out of the way. Let's get on to the football. So, Arsenal getting a 2-2 draw at the Middlesex Scum. Good times. I say good. It could have been better, but we'll come on to that. So let's get some initial thoughts from both of you then. Carl, I'll start with you. I think you and I see things a little bit differently to John today, so it should make for a good show. So what did you make of it?
Weirdly, I think we've done well. I honestly think we've done well. I know people will say, you know, oh, we got a draw and we was winning. But, you know, apart from a very, very stupid mistake that we'll talk about later, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. We've gone to our rivals who are up there in the table. They're not playing shit football. We've gone there and we've got a draw with 10 men. You know, yes, we could have won it, but I think we've done well. Everything that we wanted the reaction today. And I think the team gave us one. They gave us the reaction that we really, really wanted. You know, they were fighting for the balls. And, you know, yes, there were some mistakes, but everything that we wanted in the game, we got from the players.
That's very well said. And John, you're a little bit... I'm going to use the word numb. Would that be fair? You're a little bit kind of good, but could have been better. Kind of, is that fair?
Yeah, my anger and disappointment is for the season as a whole, but for this particular game, it's sort of more confusion, and I'm not really sure how to put it because I thought we were poor for large periods, and then we get a goal, and it was a great goal, and I was like, well, brilliant. You know, we're ahead. This is superb. You know, and then the stupidness happens and we're losing, and then I just think, oh, fuck it, it's all gone to shit. It's going to be fucking horrible. And we get the goal back, and I'm like, yes, this is brilliant. How the fuck are we doing this? And then we play better with 10 men, like after we're 2-1 down. I don't understand it. And it just, it weirdly sort of summarizes our season of, I have no idea what's going on, and I can't put my finger on what the problems are, and there's bits in the game. Like in our season where we've been fantastic and certain individuals have been great, and then but large swathes of the team and the season was bad, and that sort of it was really well summed up in this game. But the fact we didn't lose was huge. That was massive. That was the biggest thing. Obviously, yeah, I wanted a win. Clearly, you never want to give them anything at all. But going down to 10 men, and we actually looked like we were more likely the winners as well towards the end of the game with the 10 men, I thought. I don't know. I'm completely lost with this season. I said to before we started, like the three teams that I follow, sort of Arsenal and Gladbach and Inter, it's just so miserable at the moment. I'm so fed up with football. I can't wait till the season ends in a weird way.
Put the scissors down, John. Walk away. It's not worth it. Yeah. okay, well let's start with the team then. Be fair to say that we made a few changes. Some raised a few eyebrows. We knew about the goalkeeping situation. We'll touch on that in a minute. But Carl, what did you make of the changes for obviously Gibbs coming in at left back? Whether Nacho had a slight injury or not, he was still fit enough for the bench, so that seemed like a selection for me. And Elneny coming into side, Danny Welbeck up front. What did you make of it? Did it sort of come across to you as a bit of a throw of the dice, or did it make sense?
The attacking options, yes, it was. It made sense, but I didn't understand the Gibbs for Monreal thing. Monreal is probably one of our best players, if not the player of the season at the moment, and I thought he was doing quite well. I can understand why probably Arsene Wenger's done it. I agree with you. If you're fit enough for the bench, you're fit enough to start. You know, because a player can get injured in the first minute and you have to come on. So for me, fit enough for the bench, you're fit enough to start. But the attacking options, I can understand. You know, Walker and both Giroud haven't played well this season. And the lack of form that both of them have at the moment is a bit worrying. So Welbeck was kind of the natural choice to come in. And I was happy. I know a lot of people aren't, but I'm very happy that Ramsey on the right, because I think he gives the team balance when he plays out there. I just think the team was much more settled. You know, he does help Bellerin when he goes back, and the options I thought was done. He done well. I think Wenger done well.
Yeah, completely agree on the Ramsey point. We will touch on that in a minute because I know one of our regulars, Everything Rude Rude Everything, asked me a question before we went live, and I will address that later on. John, what did you think about it? Again, were you overall happy? Did you expect this sort of team? It's kind of nice that at least you know, the manager, whatever your views, it was nice to see that he changed things and went a little bit different to try and shake things up, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I understood the Ramsey moving to the right thing. Our best performances we've had this season is when he's played there. I thought it was a big call to play Elneny today, although he didn't really have a lot of options. It was either him or Flamini, and if I had to pick, I probably would have gambled as well. I think the only one that was possibly a little bit surprising was the fact that Joel Campbell didn't get a start. But then if you do start Campbell, then you probably are putting Ramsey back in midfield and putting Campbell out wide, I guess, because we know he's not going to drop him for Alexis, because Alexis is higher up in his pecking order of his sort of predetermined thing that he seems to have. But yeah, other than that, Gibbs was a little bit surprising, but I thought that decision was justified. He knows how important the game is, and he really showed that today. But yeah, I thought... You know, there wasn't a lot of choice. I thought starting Welbeck was the right move as well. That was really important because we needed to have not just someone who could hold the ball up, but someone who could run in behind. I think he's the best of... Welbeck's a perfect example of how you can have the best of like a Giroud-type striker and Walcott blended into one. So I was really impressed with him today.
Yeah, I think had Theo Walcott come onto that pitch today, there might have been some kind of seismic issue going on in North London, because I think people would have been quite annoyed, to be fair. So let's sort of start touching on bits of the game then. So obviously we came into the game. I guess it's been a bit of a mess this week. You know, whether it be in the press, whether it be the supporters, whether it be the team, the manager, everything seems to have been a real mess this week, and it's not been a fun week to be a Gooner, and we've said that probably too many times in truth. But I thought we started very well. Carl, I'll come to you on this one. Do you feel that we sort of had the right game plan? Because I was really impressed from the off that the pressing game was there. We seemed to want to, we didn't have a lot of possession, but I think we all expected Spurs to come at us quite heavily. And I said last night that we could not go behind early on because that would have killed the confidence. So did you feel that we started the game well and grew into it before the goal?
I thought we started the game okay. I don't think we started the game well. I think some of the things that we were trying weren't really coming off. But I definitely agree with what you said, that we grew into the game. We did. I think the confidence levels definitely went up, because even though Spurs had most of the ball, they didn't do anything with it. And I think that is the key. And I can't recall them having that many shots on goal sort of in the first half of the first half. So I think, you know, the little things that we were trying in the beginning weren't really coming off. But then we sort of grew into the game more. We got our passing pattern. They were... got that correct, you know, and people were making runs and closing down the opposition well. And I think as the game grew, we grew.
That's very, very fair. And John, in the sort of the build-up, I mean, Carl has just touched on the fact we didn't have a lot of possession, but as he quite rightly said, it was almost like Spurs were doing an Arsenal where they had a lot of the ball but didn't really do a lot with it. And then we had that spell, didn't we, just before the goal came, where we started to get a bit more composure and maybe grew in belief. Do you think that was part of the game plan, to kind of see out the first 30 and then try and spring?
I mean, I assume so. I don't know. I thought, to be perfectly honest, we started the game really badly. We lost every 50-50 ball. We couldn't string two passes together, and Spurs were just out-muscling us every single challenge. Like, you know, when you see, like, Christian Eriksen win a 50-50 and sort of shoulder charge someone off the ball, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? But they clearly were nervous, and I think that is, you know, from what's happened in the last couple of games. But as you said, as it went on, we did start to play better, and they did obviously seem to be a bit more confident, so could do their passing and moves. I thought once they started to find Welbeck more and actually hit those runs he was making in behind, that really did start to stretch Spurs, because they do push their fullback so far forward. And it was a really good, and it was a nice spell of sort of 5-10 minutes before the goal. Because I thought before that, at that point, don't get me wrong, Spurs didn't particularly look like scoring, But we didn't look like doing anything either. I just thought, okay, we'll get to half-time 0-0. That'll be, you know, I'll take that at the moment because I didn't think we were in it. But once we started to actually hit those passes right and exploit what Welbeck's got, then we start to come back into the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And come back into the game with a goal, Carl. Bit of a surprise to see how it ended up in the net, because I think John was saying, and you were saying pre-record, that Aaron Ramsey is so guilty of these flicks and tricks that don't come off. And ironically, the flicks and tricks that he tried actually came off here. I want to highlight Danny Welbeck's involvement, though, in this goal. Superb run down that left-hand side, stretched them. Terrific pass, good work from Hector, and a tidy finish. What did you make of it?
The goal made me laugh. Like, I was watching the game and I actually chuckled just because, right, what we said, you know, we lambast Ramsey for the flicks and tricks and that they don't come off. Let's face it, I think at least 80% of the flicks that he attempts don't come off. But, you know, he carries on trying them. And, you know, I had a Spurs fan message me and say, oh, he didn't mean that. Oh, he 100% meant that. He definitely meant that. It was I thought Hector Bellerin was going to shoot. Honestly, I kind of wanted him to shoot just to test the goalkeeper. But, you know, credit to him, he passed it. And, you know, I think it was a bit of a bad pass because it was behind Ramsey when he passed the ball. And Ramsey, you know, all his credit, he flicked into the goal. And I just thought it was a great finish because he absolutely meant it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and it's kind of ironic how the things that don't work all of a sudden did. John, you wanted to touch on the fact that you felt Hugo Lloris should have done better. I'm with you on that one. Although it was hit sort of, although it was a little bit of a surprise finish, the body shape Ramsey was in, it was the only way he was going to get it into the net. Do you think the keeper should have done better on that one?
Yeah, I mean, oh, don't get me wrong, I'm glad he didn't.
It
was fantastic that he didn't. And yeah, it was a clever finish by Ramsey. It was really the only thing he could do with it. But yeah, just like, I've obviously, you watch games throughout the season, and Lloris has been one of the best keepers in the league this season. He's been right up there. So I thought it was going to be difficult for us today, enough as it is, to create chances and then to get past him. And I was surprised, and you know, we got lucky today that, you know, Lloris had a off day, and Little Dave in goal for us, the shortest goalkeeper in the world, had a really good day.
We will definitely touch
but also on that goal, good awareness from Welbeck to pick out Bellerin. Yeah. I know we moan a lot for not shooting, but he actually, instead of just going, oh, I'm gonna have a dig, but he actually thought, no, there's two defenders in front of me, I haven't got a clear chance here, now I'll pick out the right pass, and picked out the open man, and good awareness from Hector. Well, it was a little bit under hit the pass.
Yes, I thought that at the time as well. Yeah, absolutely.
And I loved Rambo's celebration because he was getting mocked for every misplaced pass, and he did misplace a lot of passes today. He wasn't very good, but his little celebration is just little. What was that you saying to the crowd? That I like that. That was good.
Yeah, a little bit of heart, which again we will touch on later on. Okay, so Carl, we're going to have to address the massive cock-shaped elephant in the room now. Francis Coquelin. Now, he'd already been booked for a handball in the 29th minute, which I said to you guys pre-record, it doesn't excuse it. It was silly, but you see these 1,000 times every week where a player thinks he's fouled and stupidly tries to make the referee's mind up for him by pulling the ball back. And clearly this one went against him. So knowing he was on a booking, he then goes flying into Harry Kane, which, by the way, normally, particularly on the street, I'd give someone a medal. That's absolutely fine. But in this situation, he was going nowhere, as he generally does. He was dragging his chin on the floor, wiping the spit away, and then in comes Coquelin, out. And it was just so, so silly, wasn't it? What did you make of it?
It was stupid. I mean, the first one, like we were saying, play to the whistle. You know, I know what we're saying about, you know, players usually make the referee's mind up for them, but forget that. Play to the whistle. You know, you get talked at from when you're bloody knee-high to a grasshopper, like, play to the whistle. And the second yellow card, Harry Kane's going nowhere. He's out on the right wing. He's not going to do anything from there. I know we're going to talk about his goal, but you know, he's not doing anything from there. So why you felt the need to dive in, I have no idea. Like, stay on your feet. You could have shoulder barged him. You could have stood up. It was kamikaze defending by Coquelin, and there is not a person in this world that can defend him. You know, I genuinely hope that Arsene Wenger's got to go into that dressing room and he's got to tell him you know, what the fuck was you doing? Excuse my language. You know, he has to, because he can't be expected to get away with that. You know, I know he's going to get a ban, but he's got to go in there and say, you sort of almost lost the game for us, you know, as a team. You know, he's got to, for me, he's got to feel bad about this so he doesn't make that same mistake again. I don't want to change his game because that's his game, but you've got to be smart. As a footballer, you've got to be very, very smart. And for me, it was just stupid, so, so stupid what he done.
Yeah, I can't defend that in any way, shape or form. And John, the aftermath of the substitution, I've got a point I want to make on this as well, but I'll give you the floor first of all, because I think you're thinking what a lot of people are saying. The sort of lack of change, the lack of a substitution. I made the point in our group that there wasn't a huge amount of time where the ball was dead to make that substitution. That being said, there was a kickoff and there was the period where Ospina put the ball out to basically waste time. That was clear. It was good gamesmanship actually from him. But you wanted to make a point that you felt we should have made some sort of change at that point.
Yeah, I mean, the challenge itself was just fucking stupid. I don't know what he's doing there. He should know better by now. Rightly sent off. But why, as soon as that tackle's flying in, like before the refs even walked over and before the tackle's even finished, I sat there and watching it, and I'm sure everyone else was. Everyone's gone, right, he's off. So as the manager, straight away, you know you're going to be down to 10 men. Before the refs even gone over to book him, get someone out warming up. You know, whether it's Flamini coming on or Joel Campbell, you're switching it around, whatever. There should have been a substitution straight away. That should have been done. You know, there was absolutely no response from the bench whatsoever, other than, I assume, Wenger probably moaning at the fourth official, because it's just what managers do. You know, that's, so personally for me, I would have immediately just gone Ozil come off, because he weren't, I'm sorry, I thought he was terrible today, to be perfectly honest. I think he did like two good balls and that was it, and he wasn't really in the game. He wasn't challenging for anything, and I know people will go, well, that's not his game and whatever. Well, sorry Precious, but it's a North London derby, get on with it. You're a footballer, it's your job. Everyone's got to put a shift in the game like that. And when you're down to 10 men, you know you're going to need players who are up for it and willing for the fight. And I think if you make a change instantly, you then have the time for the sub can come on with a few directions for the team and you can organise properly. But there was just nothing from the bench at all, and the players just looked confused, lost. There was moaning at Coquelin, he was disappointed he's coming off, and the team just sort of crumbled, and then they get, you know, two quick goals, didn't they?
Fair points all round. The other side of the coin, it would be only fair to give our listeners a say, and obviously thank you to everybody who's joined us in the chat room, but I've got a couple of tweets here from Twitter from Stan the Man, who's a regular with our parish, and he says, I'm shocked at the amount of fans on Twitter that have rounded on Coquelin. He's young and willing and will learn from mistakes. And the other part of his tweet was, the cock should get a pass. Vieira was guilty of a few of them. I can see his point, in fairness. I don't think he can get a pass on the stupidity of today. I do think it was a ridiculous challenge. I can understand what you said about Vieira, because we all do have very short memories. Patrick was guilty of a few of those, but it doesn't excuse today. The point I just want to make very briefly, as I said to you guys before we recorded, I've seen this sort of incident 1,000 times on a Sunday morning when I'm stood in the freezing cold watching my team. And to me, it wasn't so much a substitution that was needed. It was more like you said, John, the lack of, or seemingly, because we weren't there, the seeming lack of organisation coming from the bench, from the coaching staff, you know, whether it's the manager's job, whether it's Steve Bold's job, the players, as you said, John, did look a bit lost. And when there is an incident like this that happens, even at my level of football in Sunday League, when a player is sent off or something, a big incident happens in a game, it just takes your focus off what's going on. And just for that split second, you then need your management team or your coaches to just reorganise, basically. And whether it's just a simple couple of words or simply a change of formation, something has to happen. It didn't, and Carl, obviously then we just
quickly, sorry Chris, before you move on from that, it's not just and this is not me giving Arsene Wenger a pass, by the way, but it's not just him that needs to do something, and Steve Bold, and they need to react with a sub and actually give instructions, but the players on the pitch, you got experienced internationals out there. Per Mertesacker has won a World Cup. Why is he not getting the players round, you know, whilst Coquelin's going off and saying, look, okay, we've got to be solid for like 5-10 minutes and just hold, no one go running up the pitch. You've got experienced players. It's not like they've never played football before. they've got to take some responsibility in that as well. It really winds me up. It goes back to that old thing of no leader thing and whatever on the pitch, but I'm sure we'll at some point that will come up. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, no, that's fine. No, it will come up because I definitely saw things slightly different than a lot of people. But yeah, we'll touch on that. But yeah, Carl, you know, we're sort of 1-0 up. Well, I wouldn't say we're comfortable because it's Arsenal. We're never comfortable even for 5 up. But you know, we're 1-0 up. We're playing okay. You know, we're containing them. They didn't have a lot, and then all of a sudden, 5 minutes is exactly the time after the goal, or the equalising goal. And you wanted to make a point about this being all too familiar.
Yeah, if you remember back to last season when we played them, and that dickhead Kane, he scored the exact same goal last season, back post, no one marking him. You know, Chris, you're a football manager, and you know, if something doesn't work, you change it. Zonal marking does not work for Arsenal. I'm sorry, it doesn't. I don't know if the player is just not competent or just haven't got the tactical awareness, but for me, zonal marking does not work for Arsenal. It hasn't worked for a very long time, and yet we still try it, we still stick with it. You know, you've got a man that's free on the back post. There was no one near him. And I just don't understand. Like, surely, you know, you're down to 10 men. You want to stick to them players. You want to stick to people. Man marking surely was the way to go then. And last season, Harry Kane done exactly the same thing. Back post and scored. I genuinely just don't understand what happened there, you know. And it, for me, it goes down to, again, leadership and tactics. You know, something's not working, you've got to change it. And it seems like there's a reluctance to change things in the game quickly.
Yeah, and I do want to also give a special mention to Steve McManaman, who was who decided to basically have an orgasm as Alderweireld, yeah, put the ball away, and he sort of, I don't know, he shot his load. It was quite cringeworthy to listen to. So a big shout out to you there, Stevie Mac, you epic scouts twat.
It's not like we weren't warned earlier in the game as well. You had the ridiculous, what was it, 98% of the ball over the line thing.
Oh, that
the goal
was
decision. The ridiculous, yeah. Like Ospina standing behind the line, saved the that weird shot he saved.
Is that the same as Olympiakos thing? The same thing, stand behind.
Yeah,
the
like
line.
It was. However, like the tiniest percentage, you know, and it was from the same thing, from a set piece, which we've been terrible at all season. And it's like they've just done the same ball. How are you letting them do the same thing again? And it was the same player as well. It was Alderweireld, I think, with the first one that Ospina made the save and then went, oh no, need a breather, and kicked the ball out for.
I think he took that right on the old gentleman's head.
Oh yeah. No, because it was the instant reaction of all the commentators going, that's an amazing save, and then you watch it on the replay and go, he hit the ball straight at him, he didn't even move. He put his arms out and went, I hope I get it. Yeah, okay. Because
it was good reactions, but I do agree that it was straight at him. But
he didn't
move
his feet or anything, come on, let's be honest. It was kicked straight at him. I'm not taking away from a speeder today, I thought he was very good. But sometimes they go over the top with amazing save and all that kind of thing. But yeah, he caught that one in the particulars.
In the region of doom.
But
yeah.
It's annoying when if it's happened earlier in the game, you'd think someone's going to go, or maybe we should mark that geezer at the back post when they do that sort of knockdown ball and someone runs onto it. They just didn't get it. It really irritating.
Yeah. And I will just agree as well with Carl on the zonal marking thing. I'm just not a fan, and I've tried it at my level, and it's just no. You know, if simpletons. If professionals can't pick it up, simpletons definitely can't. But I've tried all sorts, and it just doesn't work. Man to man, for me, if you've got a man, you can control that man. If you haven't, you can't. So no, I'm with you on that one, Carl. Let's go. I'll come back to you, John, quickly on the second goal. Then now, I refuse to give any Spurs player credit because I ain't gonna. To be perfectly honest, I don't care what anyone says. I'm not gonna do it. Sorry. If you buy enough tickets, you win enough lotteries. That Mong got it onto his favoured foot, used Gabriel as a bit of a shield, and sort of bent it into the corner with a little bit of luck. Good luck to him. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I'm trying to be...
Don't. It's an Arsenal show. I don't give a fuck. Don't give him any credit. He hit a good shot. Whoop-de-doo. One in a million. Well done.
It was all right.
Maybe let's touch on the defending that led to it. That would be a better topic. So,
oh, dear. That was really difficult, sorry.
No. Per Mertesacker is trying his best to see the ball out. And I get why he's done that, but we have seen this 1,000 times before where it doesn't work. And then, for me, after it doesn't go out, the rest of the defence don't really react. I thought Gabriel was, he doesn't get out to the ball, which I know is easy to do from here, but he doesn't seem to go anywhere. Ospina had no chance. And it was what, 2 goals in 2 minutes? I mean, that's typical Arsenal, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's the sort of thing we'd normally do to teams, really put that pressure in. But it did look like, as soon as they scored the first, we just sort of went, oh, no, that's it. We're going to throw it and just, crumble. After that second one went in, I was sat there and I was watching it with my old man. He said to me, he went, was there 20 minutes something left? He went, this could be a rout in a minute, just because the team just looked gone at that point. They really looked like they were lost and the defence was all over the place. I don't know what Mertesacker was trying to do. Just boot it out. Sometimes just put your foot through the ball. Don't try and be clever. Spurs were pressing all game. It wasn't just one player pressing you. It's one or two, three sometimes. And it was a very physical game anyway, so you're going to get knocked about a bit. But the problem then is that he's been out of position. The whole defence has lost its shape and Mertesacker is the only one who talks. So the rest of them sort of all go look at each other. And I'm not sure Gabriel can... I think he can speak some English because I did see him say, come on, and scream at everyone halfway through the game for not getting back to defend. But poor defending, poor positional play. The goal was okay.
It's okay. Is that, and the Gabriel...
One thing I will say, actually, before, as I've said, the goal was okay. What sort of a mong puts his number on the face mask?
Don't get me started, John.
Seriously, what is that about?
I mean, boots I can sort of understand. These fucking masks, oh, fuck off. Seriously,
it's like, what? He said, why has he got his number on that? I looked at it and I realised he's got the number 10 on it. He said, why have they even got more than one mask? Why would you need... He's like, have you got a mask with everyone's number on?
Is that
a Spurs special, like, that's going to be in the merchandise in the shop? Get your
exactly. I could sort of understand if it was that the kit sponsor provided the mask and they wanted to get a brand in on it. I could sort of understand, even though that's ridiculous.
Or Czech's got to wear the headgear because of the injury he had. You could have it on that. I mean, I don't even know what's wrong with him. Is he having plastic surgery or something?
Sorry, John, you don't know what's wrong with Harry Kane, mate. We could do an hour on that alone.
Yeah, no, there's a list. Anyway.
I agree. On the Gabriel thing as well, he says he's learnt English. I think what he's learnt is the universal sign of how to talk to a foreigner, where you just wave your arms frantically and shout loudly. I think that's how it works. But that's what English people do abroad. So maybe he's been taught to do that the opposite way around. But certainly his English is still in need of some work, I think it's fair to say. Carl, a couple of people have said, had a couple of tweets actually saying we've been very negative. I didn't think we were actually. So I think we've been very balanced so far. But I want to turn it to a bit of a positive now, because we were behind, and I said to you pre-record, I'll be honest, I was fearing the worst. I thought this could be really, really difficult now. But the one thing that we've been criticised of, particularly in the last 2 weeks, is having no bottle, no spirit, no heart, no hunger. Players don't care, all this BS, in my opinion. And we really showed that we did have today, didn't we, getting back into the game. But even before the goal, there were signs that we really wanted to try and get something out of this.
Yeah, like John said, I think we played better with 10 men than we did 11. We showed much more heart with 10 men. We were fighting for every ball. I think we were much more cautious when we had 10 men. just like you, after the second goal went in, that tapping, I genuinely thought that it could be a rout. I did fear the worst, but no, I think we kind of got together. We started playing much more simple, and I don't know if you noticed that Ramsey weren't doing those flicks or tricks anymore. He was getting the ball down and passing it, simple passes, and that's what we needed. And the run up to the second goal, I thought was brilliant. Again, I do think that the goalkeeper probably should have saved it. I mean, if we had let a goal in like that, I would have been pissed, but. Two tears in a bucket. We scored, and I thought it was brilliant that the way that we came together. I thought we played really, really well towards the end of the game, and we had a chance to win it. If anyone needs to see it, because of BT Sports. But,
yeah, absolutely. Somebody put a tweet out, actually, which I'll come on to later on, which really amused me. John, Alexis Sanchez obviously got the equaliser. He'd had what I can only be described as a frustrating day. I mean, as usual, he worked hard. A lot wasn't coming for him. He had the little incident where Lamella, I believe he's looking for Leonardo DiCaprio's Oscar. What a fucking twat. But even so, Alexis, you know, you can't react because you know what's going to happen. But to find that finish, goalkeeper again, probably at fault, but it did show character for him, didn't it? Because he hadn't had the best game. He's not had the best season, but he was there when we needed him, and he stepped up.
Yeah, it was, it wasn't the cleanest hit, and I think, you know, you've got the rain and everything else, and it skipped up a little bit. But, yeah, again, I thought, when he hit the shot, I thought, oh, Lloris has got that. And I was like, well, fucking hell, it's gone in. I was like, what? How did that even happen? It was so weird because, you know, we just sort of come back into the game. We were like 10 men down, and that's why I was so sort of confused at the end of it. I don't know how to react. But, I don't think he had a particularly good game, to be honest. He did his usual, worked hard. But he also did his usual come inside, right foot, right foot, right foot. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go on my right foot again. I'm going to keep going. I'll end up in the right-back position going across the pitch, and it's really frustrating because you know how good he can be, and you saw how good he was last season. And I don't know what it is this year, whether that injury's taken it out of him or he's just played too much football over the past couple of years because I don't think he's had a summer off he's played solid football for like 2.5-3 years now.
2.5 years, yeah.
Yeah, and he's playing again this summer, another Copa America this summer. So, I don't know. He's maybe this goal will sort of get him somewhere back to where he was last season. Yeah. But you know, he got the goal, and it was really important for us, and we needed that. But then I thought, yeah, after that, like we're down to 10 men, then Spurs properly wobbled, and I thought, well, we could go on to maybe to win this. Because for all their pressing and all the sort of mistakes they made us make and 50-50s we lost, they didn't create loads of chances, sort of like clear-cut ones. They got in behind a couple of times, but they didn't, you know, their final ball wasn't good enough. And I thought there was one or two times like Welbeck got in and he could have done better with his first touch. Ramsey had a good chance towards the end as well. We could have maybe won the game. So I'm not... The sort of the response was good, and I'm pleased with that. I do still think we do lack leaders, if I'm honest. I think Ian Wright said a really good thing after the game. He said, if you'd won the Man United game and maybe you got a draw against Swansea and then put in this performance today, people wouldn't question it, and the way the manager talked about it afterwards. But the fact that you've had the terrible performance at Man United, the sort of the collapse against Swansea, and it really was a collapse. You know, when we looked quite comfortable in that game, I thought that's probably some of the best football we played for a long time. I still think this kind of masks it a little bit, and in a way, it's easier for the team to get up for such a big game like this. You know the crowd and the atmosphere is there for you. You can get a buzz off that and a real feed off that. So I think it's a little bit too easy to say, you know, oh, this is like a turning point or anything like that. I don't want to be too negative because we were down to 10 men and it's, you know, away to them and we got a point, and that's in the end, that's probably a good result. But, you know, we haven't improved our league position. They're still, what is it, 3 points above us?
Yeah.
You know, and Leicester could win today. Come on, Watford. Cheering Watford. I'm cheering Watford against Leicester. What is going on?
I've got a sneaky feeling they will actually be.
It's weird, though, isn't it? I'm cheering Watford against Leicester. Yeah. Why are you cheering Watford? Oh, because Leicester are top of the league and they can go 8 points clear. What?
Mental.
Sorry. Is this Back to the Future or something? Yeah, Martin McFly is going to pop up in a minute. Anyway. weird reference. It's a weird game, and it's hopefully they can use that, the team themselves, as a sort of boost. Because I still don't get the impression that it's the manager that does those sort of talks and gets them up for it and that kind of thing. I think the players have got to rely on each other for it. Because he's never struck me as that type of manager to do that and get in the dressing room and really get at them. You know, the whole Coquelin thing, I don't see Wenger tearing one into him. I see him taking him aside and having a quiet word with him and very polite and being sort of well-mannered about it and saying, you know, this is...
John, do you think he should? Do you honestly think that he should tear into him?
Yeah, no, I think they need it because I think they're so used to sort of being...
placated.
Yeah, sort of in a way they're kind of pampered compared to the way some other teams are treated. You know, there's the nicely approach. works to a certain amount with certain players. Like Mesut Ozil, I don't think you're going to get the best out of him if you rip into him. He's a player who needs that sort of calm, you know, just nice sort of atmosphere because he's very introverted. But I think some of the other, a lot of the players just really just do need, basically need a slap. You know, they need a Tony Adams in the dressing room grabbing around the throat and going, what are you doing? You don't play like that, you know. They need a Ferguson type manager who will rip into him in front of the team, the rest of the team, if need be.
I agree with you.
You know, I think that's one of the things we really lack. And if the manager's not going to do it, then some of the players have to do it. And I don't think we've got the players who will do that. Like Cech is clearly the best leader we've got in that dressing room for me. And I don't think he's going to come in during his first season and rip into people in front of the rest of the team.
Steve Bold, around that era, you know, the Tony Adams. So you'd think, why isn't Steve Bold doing it? I mean, we don't know what happens behind closed doors. We haven't got a clue. But, you know, why isn't, you want someone like Steve Bold to, you go up to Coughlin and just get right in his face and say, what the hell did you just do that for? Like, why did you do that? And like, proper go at him. You want Arsene Wenger in the interview to sort of say, you know, Coughlin was a stupid boy, he shouldn't have done that. Not, oh yeah, you know, he shouldn't have done that. Because in the interview, Arsene Wenger said, oh yeah, we know. But straight away started talking about Dier. Now, forget that. He's not part of our team. Forget that. He needs to just concentrate on our team. You can't, you know, say something with one breath and then straight away start talking about the opposition.
Do you know what I think it is? And I agree with both of you, by the way. I'm not going to disagree with you. Do you know what I think, though? I think that the reason it doesn't happen is down to Arsene, because as we've always heard throughout the stories of everybody that's got close to him, he is very much a calming influence, calming figure. And I think if Steve Bold was allowed to, I think what you've just said, both of you just said, would happen. But I think if you look at it from another perspective, if you're saying, okay, well, Arsene's not going to do it, I wish somebody else would do it, it basically throws out everything. It throws out everything Arsene Wenger stands for. And whether, I'm not saying you have to like it at all. But the fact is, he is obviously, you know, is the manager, and he obviously has a huge say in everything we do, and it's his way right now, whether we like it or not. And I think that if you allow somebody else the, you know, the ability to go in and start ranting, it basically just undermines everything he stands for. So I think that's why it doesn't happen. But I do agree that, yes, you know, to a degree, it should happen. Or at least, even if it's the players. And I'm sure the players will say privately to Coughlin, you're a fucking idiot. You know, you're a tool. What have you done there? But we digress.
But it's not going to be, you know, in front of the squad dressing down. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not hanging Coughlin out to dry. He was an idiot today. You know, but he'll come back into, when his ban's done, come back straight into the team, because he's that important. He's very good in the team and we need him. And he'll know, you know, he'll know how stupid he was today, because he'll look back on that and go, if I hadn't done that, we might have got out there with 3 points, you know. It's just frustrating that you just know that's not going to happen in our dressing room, and it irritates me sometimes, because I just think sometimes those certain games you need that. You know, like the Man United game where we've just been poor. You know, you just think if we had someone at half time, it might have just got them going and, you know, done something. And those couple of different results, especially in a season like this where, like, no one wants to win the league, apparently, other than Leicester, weirdly, you know. And I'm saying that after they get a draw with West Brom.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that being said, Claudio Ranieri doesn't strike me as the sort of guy that will go in and throw teacups, if I'm honest.
No, but but you look in that team, and I bet you anything, if someone does something wrong, that Robert Hoof, you know, Wes Morgan, Jamie Vardy, I bet they're not shy in going around and giving someone a slap in the dressing room. Hmm. You know, this, you know, it's not going to happen. You know, and we know all the stories because you hear it from all the ex-players and stuff, that Wenger just lets the players, you know, just go out and play your game, do your thing. And that's great, and it works for some people, but you can't. I don't think nowadays you can do that in a team, and the way football is now, it's not the same. You need to have that aggression still from the players.
Yeah,
previously he always had leaders in his team that could do that for him.
Yeah, you know? It's essentially what a lot of people have always said, that the game has maybe moved on in us and has moved on in some areas and maybe not in others. I think that would be the fair way of putting it. But yeah, I want to sort of touch on some individuals, and I want to try and have a little bit of positive here, because I think both myself and particularly Carlo, you know, we're quite positive with this, and not so much that, you know, okay, yes, it's only a point, you know, arguably we probably needed to go there and win, but we haven't been beaten. We did show heart, we did show character, we did show desire. I think to a degree the manager deserves some sort of credit, because he did make the changes. It would have been very easy for him to have just said to those players that let him down again the last two games, go out there and prove me wrong. But he did make those changes, albeit one enforced. I'm not buying into the Nacho thing, I've got to be honest. I think that was a straight change, like Carl said. But Carl, what do you think? I mean, looking at the performances of individuals, I want to start with Danny Welbeck. This is a guy who, you know, he's been out for basically a year. There was talk that his career could be on the line, and he's come back and he looks fit, he looks sharp, he looks hungry. What did you make of his performance today?
I think it was brilliant. I genuinely thought he was brilliant. He does what we want someone like Theo to do, you know, run into the channel, stretch the games. You know, I thought he was a combination today of Theo and Giroud. You know, he held the ball up well when he needed to, and then he stretched the game by sort of going out wide when he needs to. You know, Welbeck is what sort of player that we really, really need. And, you know, going forward, I think he's going to become really important for us. You know, hopefully, you know, he does stay fit and he can carry on with the performances that he's already done. For me, he was probably our man of the match. You know, though he didn't get the goals, I think he was the man of the match. I mean, like you said, you could tell he was really tired at the end, you know, because he's been out for, what, 9-10 months. Of course he's going to get tired. His match fitness is not there yet. But for me, he was our man of the match.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I know a few people were saying that they were surprised about the substitution again. I mean, Arsenal fans moaning about substitution. Who'd have thought? But I genuinely thought, I know, John, you felt differently, but I genuinely thought he did look like his race was run. He did look tired. And the only thing that we both agree on, John, is we thought maybe Mesut Ozil would have been, certainly would have been off earlier, if anything, let alone.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, when Coquelin got sent off, I don't know why Ozil wasn't taken off then. I get the whole you leave on your big player because they can create a chance or something. It makes sense, and I see why Sanchez left on, because he had a poor game. I don't think he had a particularly good game as well. I know he got the goal, but I think the difference between Sanchez and Ozil is Sanchez is going to score, is much more likely to score than Mesut Ozil is. You know, we know Ozil doesn't really get goals. It's not his thing, and I thought he was poor today. Welbeck, I thought, was superb. You know, really, really good. I said pre-pod that, you know, like the two guys that really impressed me today was Gibbs and Welbeck. You know, one is a Londoner who understands it, and the other lad, maybe it is because he's English, but he's, you know, he's from Manchester. This is Arsenal Tottenham. It doesn't really mean anything to him, but it looked like it did. And he's by no means perfect. His technical ability isn't quite there, and his finishing isn't always there. But what he has got is, in the same sense that Sanchez gives you, he always works. He's always trying. He was, you know, there was time, like, he was running back into right back to go and get the ball, like when we had 11 men, things like that, you know, which maybe he shouldn't be doing, but it's the constant trying to work and trying to help the team. And that really impresses me. And it dares you to the fans to him as well. I'd still like to see, you know, like a quote unquote better striker. But for me right now, Welbeck should be first choice in this team up front, because he just offers everything. He offers so much more. And that's not to knock like Giroud and, you know, the other players that we've had up front this season, because Giroud's been really good. You know, he's doing what Giroud can do for the money we paid for that player. But Welbeck today was superb. He's definitely my man of the match as well.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. And let's have a look at some other individuals. I'm just going to have my little say on somebody before we move on to someone else, actually, just quickly. Friend of the show, Jansa, tweeted us just before we went live. And I know a lot of people are not going to agree with this, but I'm going to say it because I think he makes a point, and I actually do agree with him. And he said that, could somebody please talk about the leaders on the pitch today? Because I did see one in Per Mertesacker, excellent in managing the guys. And I actually think that's fair. I know some people will say, oh, you know, he made the mistake for the goal. And, you know, that's a fact. I'm not going to deny that. And I know that at times he can make decisions that you do sort of look at and think, eh. But I did see him talking to the players today. I did see him organising. And I did think that overall he was calm. He was composed. certainly not with his partner next to him. Definitely wasn't. But you know, I do think that a tip of the hat, credit where due. You know, he's not potentially one of the best centre backs in the world. Clearly, you know, and he's certainly sort of his better days maybe behind him. But I did think he marshalled the defence well. I did think he was calm, and I did think he drove the side on from the back to certainly to try and push for the equaliser. He was cajoling. His best. So fair play, Per. Credit where credit's due. But Carl, I want to touch on the goalkeeper. John calls him Little David, which I think is rather cute. He came in for an awful lot of stick, and rightly so, for the mistake against Olympiacos. He will know better than anyone. But he came in today to replace arguably our player of the season. And barring a couple of sort of minor flubs of the ball, you know, where he made 9 saves today. He organised well. He did everything really, really well. Credit where credit's due. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I've got to give him his credit. I think he played really well today. I genuinely do. You know, he wasn't at fault for the goals. I mean, the Kane tapping, you know, he couldn't get there. And the first goal, I thought it wasn't his fault. I thought the things that he did well was brilliant. You know, the saves that he made, especially that reaction save from, I think it was Lamela, where the ball came across him. I thought that was absolutely brilliant save. It was a reaction save, but it was good. The other one where he kicked the ball out because he got hit in the balls, you know, that was not nice. But, you know, and you... I think everyone in the ground sort of went, ooh, all at the same time, you know, that's never nice. But, you know, give it where his credit's due. You know, he came into it. This is a high-pressure game. You know, if you're playing in a North London derby, you just get thrown in. You know, it's a high-pressure game, and I think he done really well today.
Absolutely. Hopefully, is my sound all right now? Sorry, I didn't realise what was going on there.
Are we all okay? Yeah, you're all right now. Yeah, it was just crackling a bit. I don't know if it's the cable or the...
It's the attack of the Goonaholics. It's the Dalek effect. It's a nightmare. wouldn't be AEW if it didn't happen at least once, would it? John, let's come to you. El Nene got a star. I was surprised. I think a lot of people were surprised that we were talking in our group last night. We were, you know, bantering back and forth about who we would play, who we wouldn't play. And then all of a sudden, he's into the side today. I thought he did all right. I thought, you know, nothing spectacular. He didn't pull up any trees, but he moved the play well. He sped up the tempo at times. He kept things simple. It's what you want from a player in that position, isn't it?
Yeah, In a complimentary way, can I say he was boring? Is that? But no, I mean it in a complimentary way, because it's not an exciting player to watch. You know, he's not exciting because he just does the simple things, and you need that in that position. He got out muscled a couple of times, you know, and he lost a few 50-50s. But it's a huge game to come into. I was surprised that he got his start in this, you know, but he did his job, you know. So I thought, yeah, decent performance. I think you've still got to give him time. Any player that comes in from another league, I think it's very difficult to judge him, like, just sort of half a season anyway. But yeah, I thought he was good today, so maybe that performance makes Arsene think about playing him more often. I assume, will Coquelin be banned for the FA Cup or the league?
Yeah, FA Cup, I think it comes in
straight
away.
Just the FA Cup, okay, yeah. So he'll only miss the whole game. So yeah, I suppose it'll be Onene and Flamini maybe or something would be for that game. Maybe he gets a go in the league, maybe he gets a chance in that, whether he wants to play him next to Coquelin again for a game, or he plays him over Coquelin, maybe sort of direct competition is never a bad thing. But yeah, I thought a solid performance, nothing spectacular, but that's basically what we needed in there today. So yeah, I hope to see more from him in the future, but we'll see how he gets on.
Yeah, I agree. I think I think for a first performance, you know, in at that level, at that sort of that pressure cooker, I thought he handled himself extremely well. Carl, I also want to touch on Hector Bellerin, who of late has struggled. I think it's fair to say I thought he was poor against Swansea, culpable for the first goal in particular, in my view. And he's looked a player that has maybe arguably played too much. You know, I still think the Debussy decision was an odd one, if I'm honest, without suitable cover, because I think he could have played against Swansea, if I'm honest. But hey-ho, that's done. What did you make of Hector today? Probably should have been sent off, but technically claimed 2 assists.
Yeah, he got two assists. So, you know, if a right back gets two assists, you know, things have gone well. You're right what you say. He probably should have been sent off, but, you know, he wasn't.
To mention Dyer, by the way, because I haven't actually mentioned that. He should have gone as well.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he definitely should have gone. And that's the inconsistencies in the refereeing this season. I personally think that refereeing has been poor this season. And I mean really, really poor. There's been some decisions that have been made in the Premier League that it's spectacular. You know, these are the things that, you know, can change league titles and relegations and things like that. Refereeing has been poor, but I digress. Bellerin, I thought he played well today. I think he was more disciplined. I thought he didn't. Sometimes he has a tendency just to run forward for the sake of running forward. But I felt today he sort of, you know, he thought about his runs, when to go forward and when to stay. I still think positionally he's not that great, but, you know, he's young and he's improving it, and he will improve season on season on season. You know, I very much hope that, you know, we get to keep him for many, many years. But today, I thought he played quite well.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. And again, very fair of you. Absolutely. And John, we sort of looking at the squad of as a whole, I thought just very briefly, we should give or touch on the contribution that Olivier Giroud made when he came on. It will largely go unstated because, you know, he was on for a short period of time. But I did think he gave us just that when we needed it most, that little bit of a plan B, dare I say it, that thing that we apparently never have. Credit where credit's due. I mean, he's not in good form right now, but he does work hard, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's not getting the goals that he should be. I mean, some of the chances he had against Swansea were ridiculous that he didn't finish, the one that hit the crossbar in particular. But when he came on today, he held the ball up and he laid it off. And he tried to link up play, and he was sort of sitting a little bit deeper at times and holding it up when we needed. And obviously bringing him on as well helps from set pieces, defending that. I mean, I know Tottenham scored from one, but other than that, their delivery was as bad as ours was today, so it wasn't too much of an issue. So, you know, but yeah, no, he's a nice player to bring off of the bench. And I actually think it kind of suits him a little bit more, because he comes on fresh and the defence is a bit tired. Because you could see, like, I know Welbeck did go off until like the 85th minute or whatever, but you could see like Alderweireld and is it Vimmer? Is that the other guy, isn't it? Yeah. Like, you could see a little sort of like exhale was like, well, thank God that bloke's gone off the pitch, because he was really running them down all game and really making them work hard. You know, and then you see this big, you know, pretty French bloke come up and go, well, he's probably a bit of a pushover. Well, he's not really. He's actually quite tough, and he gets a bit of stick for that, you know, because he does throw himself about. So it gives a different threat. But, yeah, from the players that came on, they all performed well. The weird one for me was, you know, like poor old Joel Campbell, who everyone knows I'm not a fan of, and I still don't particularly think he's good enough to be at Arsenal, but he's played his nuts off this season and does deserve to be in the team. And it's just like, I've gone, Joe, have a minute, run out for a bit of a laugh. You know, I mean, if I was him, like, I'd be throwing daggers at Wenger every time I saw him at the training grounds.
I think he'll probably play on Tuesday, but I do.
Understand. Oh, yeah. Don't worry, Joe, we're playing Hull that replay.
You can go up to Hull on a wet Tuesday night, yeah.
You can have a game in that one.
And just with regards to the right back situation, and John, I'm sure you'll agree with me, there's two players in the summer that I can think of, and one of them is in your league of choice, El Cid Hosai at Napoli, and also Issa Mandy, who I really like at Rams. So there are options. So who knows? We could be linked with players all summer and not get another one.
the letting Bushi go and not really having cover, you know, because I think Bellerin does need a rest.
And
I like Callum Chambers. I don't think he is a right back. I think he's a centre back, and I think in some games you can afford to play him there, but today is not one of those games, and there comes a point where, you know, there's not a choice anymore and you have to rotate Bellerin out at some point. I'm sure he'll get a rest probably Tuesday night, but
yeah,
and that whole thing with Debussy, I know he didn't want to be there, but sometimes you just got to put your foot down and say tough shit.
Yeah,
I don't care what you want. You've got a contract here, tough, get on with it.
And he would have. The ironic thing is to say is I think he probably still would have got games, but you know, that's open to people's opinions. Another quick tweet: Jeff Martman, who's a friend of mine, fellow Chicago Fire fan, we finally saw a 4-3-3 with Ozil central in the front three. Still think it has potential. I wanted to read that tweet because I think he has a little bit of a point there. I noticed today in particular, before we were chasing the game, I would say, when we sort of got the goal, the formation looked a bit more fluid today. I don't know whether that was because El Nene was in it, but it did appear to me that we were actively going a bit 4-3-3 at times. Did you notice that, Carl, or was that just me being a bit hipster?
Bit of both, I think. I think Ramsey on the right works. It just works, you know. I think we just have more balance, and I think El Nene being in the squad definitely changes dynamics. I think it really, really does, because Ramsey doesn't sort of run around like a headless chicken that he normally does. I think he's today he was very good because he was popping up on the left, popping up on the right. He was all over the place, and that's what I think was really, really good. I think El Nene definitely brings balance to the team. I don't know what it was today. I just thought that he was really, really... I'm not going to go overboard and say he was brilliant, he was fantastic, but I just think he brings something different that we don't normally have. You know, he's more disciplined. He knows when to sit. He knows when to go forward. And sort of like John said, he did lose a few 50-50s and did get muscle of the ball. But in time, you know, he will know the physicality of the sort of Premier League and he will get better.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. And I also wanted to touch on that debate, actually, because I'm intrigued to get your thoughts and John's. The talk of Aaron Ramsey, I think the reason why... and I know everything reviewed, everything is already off on one here, but it does work. It really does work. And it's no coincidence that you saw Aaron Ramsey pop up with that goal coming in from the right-hand side. Just because I think too many people get caught up in the idea of a formation. They look at a board that the Sky's Pretty Graphics or BT's Pretty Graphics, when the channel works, and they see players in formations and they assume it sticks. Now, John, I want to come to you because you watch a lot of Italian football. Talk to me a little bit about particularly Juventus and what they do. A formation is okay. It's laid out in a certain way, but every player defends when you lose the ball, and every player can be an attacker when you have the ball. And most importantly, when a player plays right side or left side, they do drift around. There is movement in that sort of central area. They can come central, but when we lose the ball, he will tuck in on the right-hand side. And there's a big difference between starting in a right-hand side position and having that responsibility and actually starting out wide and allowing the creativity and then tucking in when you don't have the ball. It's very different, isn't it? And I just want to touch on Juventus because they do it very well.
Yeah, it's funny Ramsey playing on the right, because I do want to see him in the middle, but when he plays on the right, he actually spends most of his time in the middle anyway when we've got the ball, because he'll float about and he'll pop up. You know, he's sort of given that freedom. He plays on the right when we're defending. He'll tuck in tight, you know, when we haven't got the ball. And if the ball goes out wide right, that's his job to get out there, because he's got that engine and he can go out there and help Bellerin out and cover. But when we're going forward, he can come in and allows Bellerin to go wide, because we don't have wide men. I don't know why people keep saying this, you know. We need wingers. What's the point? If we sign wingers, they'll just get played on the wrong side and come inside all day, because that's what we do with all these players. That's why Sanchez plays on the left. Our width comes from our fullbacks. You know, Juventus do the same thing. They play a very different system because they play, you know, like a 3-5-2, and their wingbacks are their wide men. But you all have to defend as a team, and that's what Ramsey does. And it does sort of go to a 4-3-3 at times. You know, Welbeck does like to drift and change positions, and he runs in the channels, which opens up space for Ozil. And Ozil, who I don't think he was good today, but when we are playing sort of our best football, and when Ramsey has been started on the right, Ozil will float about wherever he wants and wherever the space is. And sometimes he'll find himself in the centre-forward position at times. And it does sort of... It looks more like a 4-3-3. And then you see when we drop back, it's actually more of a 4... It's more like 4-4-2, because Ozil sometimes pops up next to the striker pushing on the other centre-back. So we don't have a fixed formation of such. I just think the players more have a, this is your zone to defend, and this is the player you are covering for, and that's it. I think the problem we do have is that when, say, a Ramsey has drifted out, say, the left-hand side to go and get the ball and an attack, and we lose it and they break on us, that the other players don't necessarily come across. They don't sort of twig, oh, right, okay, I need to cover for Ramsey now because he's out on the left wing, and he'll fill in for, say, Sanchez to cover in front of, like, Kieran Gibbs today, something like that. I think that's what we're a little bit lax in, and that comes down to more training with the system of knowing everyone else's zone. That's what Juventus and Italian teams traditionally do very well. Every player in midfield has to know how to play everyone else's position, and you all have to defend. And if you're on the left but you started on the right, you know, that you cover that other person's pace, and that's what they all do for each other. So yeah, I don't think Ramsey is a fixed position there because he just comes central anyway.
I agree. And as you rightly point out there, I think it's people sort of look at it's very difficult to look at a player and how he plays in a set position from home and from TV. And I speak from somebody who does that on a regular basis. When you're at a game, you see a lot more. You could probably confirm that. You just see a lot more of players' runs, and you see a lot more of when they tuck in, when they go out wide. Whereas on TV, it's all on a, forgive the obvious statement, it's on a flat surface. You don't really get the full idea of where players go. And I certainly think that Bellerin is a better fullback when Ramsey is in front of him for whatever reason. I don't know why, because Joel Campbell's very good at tucking in. So it's just one of those things. Sometimes players. A couple. My mic's going crap again. I'll sort that out. Hang on 2 seconds.
Chris is having problems. Don't worry, people. Now he's muted himself. So he's pressing all the buttons. Now he's done it on. You've got to click it on the screen, Chris. Technical errors.
I think someone should do sign language to him.
Now press the button on your mic. And now you're not. It's still not making any noise. No.
Not,
did you plug it back in again? Did you turn it off? No. Is it IT 101? This is good. Anyway, yeah, I shall carry on for a tick. So we got a couple of questions. I think. Chris wanted us to move into that so we can keep it to our usual hour show. So yeah, if you've got any, fire them away in the chat. Carl, I'll ask you the first one. Mark asked, what should be our front three for the final part of the season?
Genuinely, I think it depends on who we're playing. At the moment, on current form, Welbeck has to play. You know, but then at the same time, you have to say, who else have we sort of got? You know, you have to play Ozil, you know, no matter what, you have to play him. You're hoping that Alexis plays himself into form. You know, you really are, you know, as much as you said, he didn't play well, and he hasn't played well for about 5-6 games. But the problem is that he's always got that bit of magic in him. So that's why I think Arsene Wenger sort of sticks with him. I mean, I personally would sort of, I don't even want to call drop or rest, however you want to say it, but I would leave him out for a game or two just so we can kind of recharge and then get back into it. But I would say Welbeck, Alexis, and I would go Campbell, probably.
Yeah, I've got to agree. Welbeck, definitely. I think Campbell deserves a go back in the team, and yeah, it probably is Alexis. I think maybe our other sort of big game is Man City away, really, isn't it? I know we got the Barca game, but that's a different thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe Man City away, you maybe go with Ramsey again on the right-hand side and sort of do the Coquelin on anything in the middle. But I think other than that, yeah, I'd want to see, it'd be nice to see Campbell, Alexis and Welbeck, because that sounds like a pretty scary front three. Chris, have we got you back? No, you're still not making any noise, mate. Have you a mute button? What have you done? I don't know what you've done. Oh, 1 second. We're going to do sign language. This is very good for anyone who's listening by the medium of audio only and not watching on YouTube. Okay, now you're muted again. Right, we'll wait for Chris to come back. Right, we've got another question. Alexis Bellerin. Is that Alexis or Alexia? I can't read. Alexis, yep. Very good name. Do we need a cheating street smart mentality? Like if Sanchez had play acted when Lamela was pushed, Lamela would have been sent off. I don't like it, but I think sometimes, yeah, you've got to do that sort of thing. Not necessarily in the league. I think it's more of a Champions League thing. You see how Barcelona do it, and they game the referee. And you see a lot of English teams, they'll make silly tackles, and then they'll they'll moan at the referee rather than sort of the way that a Barca or a Bayern Munich or Real Madrid will do it, and they sort of get round the ref and force decisions. So I think sometimes we're a little bit guilty of maybe being naive and not doing that. I don't know, what do you think about that, Carl?
I don't like it. I think we need to be a bit smarter. You know, sort of like how, I hate to give them credit, but I sort of how Chelsea do it. If they don't get a decision, they will sort of surround the referee, and I'm not advocating doing that, but sometimes we do need to be in the referee's face just a little bit. You know, sometimes, like we said earlier, we're a bit too nice, we're a bit too, oh, don't worry about it, it's fine. Sometimes you need to go up to the referee screaming to force him to make certain decisions. I don't advocate diving all over the floor. I hate it. Even if it's, you know, they get someone sent off, I really, really hate it. If it's from our club, I genuinely just, it's not the way football should be played. We're men. Come on now. Like, we shouldn't be rolling around on the floor. What Lemela did was, oh, see, for me, he should get sent off for that, or at least get a card for that. It was absolutely, it was a joke. He got pushed. You get more contact in the street walking along bloody Oxford Street. So how the hell, like, are you going to go down and pretend that you're hurt? It really is frustrating.
Yeah, apologies to anyone who's watching who happens to be from Argentina, but yeah, you know, Argentinians, they're pretty good at that sort of thing. Well, to be fair, South Americans in general, but it's more applauded over there, isn't it? Right, more questions. Chris, are you able to talk, or are you completely done? No, oh, we finally silenced Chris, so the listeners are all very happy. Okay, we'll speed through these questions quickly then, so we can get off. Right, silly question from Johnny Moon. How much do we have to spend in the summer-ish? All the money, spent all the monies. I don't care how much they spend.
Agreed, everything. Not my money.
Spend a lot, because, you know, 180 million, 200, 50 million, whatever it is you've got in the bank, if it's not being spent, you may as well just set fire to it, because it's sitting there, it's doing nothing. Don't spend it for the sake of it, though. Obviously, go and get the right players. But yeah, sitting there doing nothing, that doesn't help us. Have we got any more questions, Carl? Did you see any more? I can't see. Oh, here we go. Okay, we've got one more. Yes, Carl, you can have a go on this. From Everything, Rude Everything. Can Zelalem replace Arteta? Or who can replace outgoing players from the youth team? I think he's probably talking about with Flamini, Riziki, and Arteta look like they're going.
John Terrell was doing quite well in Birmingham, but again, that's in the Championship. You know, the Championship to the Premier League is a very big step up, but I would give him a chance. I mean, you know, he's doing quite well. He's scoring some very good goals. But like sort of Danny said on the main pod, our players are going out alone and they're not playing. You know, they're just not playing, and if they can't get a game at a Championship team, how can you come and think you can walk into the Arsenal squad the next season? That's what I think is really, really worrying. And I think I know our sort of our youth system got overhauled, and maybe it needs to get overhauled again, because, you know, we want our players to go out alone and be tearing up the Championship to come to the Premier League with confidence. And at the moment, not one of them is doing it apart from John Terrell.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think maybe it is a little bit too soon for him, because it is a big step from Championship to the Premier League. Also, the level of the club he's playing at. But I don't know, maybe he gets a Premier League loan or something like that. I don't think there's anyone really from that youth team. Like, we've seen like Iwobi step up this year. He's done all right in the spells that he's played in. But I think I'd like to see at a Premier League club and getting games every single week. It gives them better experience. We got two more questions. One more from Johnny Moon. Does today's result take the heat off of Wenger? I think it does to a certain extent. I think most people are probably okay with a point, because I think a lot of the fans were fearing the worst today. I know I was. It's the first time I've ever gone into a North London derby and feeling really nervous about it. There'll still be all the people who want him gone.
Oh yeah, that's always going to happen. At the end of the day, it's, you know, I think that's the debate for the end of the season. And yeah. There's no point talking about it now. He's not going to go now. You know, at the end of the season, I'm sure it will all be spoken about depending on where we finish in the table. Me personally, I think it depends who wins the league and where we finish, whether he probably should go. But again, he's not going anywhere, and for the foreseeable. We need to get behind the team no matter how badly and how shit we play, you know. Just get behind the team, and no matter what you like I said, I went on a Wednesday against Swansea and atmosphere was toxic. People booing. I don't get people booing. You're frustrated. That's fine. Be frustrated. But booing the team, what does that do? For me, does nothing.
Yeah, no. Alexis Bellerin has come back to, how should we learn tactical fouling? I'd just take a day trip out to Chelsea, probably. It's probably a good way to do it. Chelsea or just watch Barcelona. They're pretty good at it. Mr. Hollenfriend, hello in the chat. Where is the GFP? I think he's probably still in bed, mate. I'm surprised you got up, Jeff, but at least you got up for a half-decent result. One last question that I'm just going to put in, because we are going to wrap up as Chris has decided to go all wonky. Everything, Ruru and everything is asked, should we mute Wenger like we muted Chris? To which, Chris's response there is fantastic. I do think sometimes, Arsene doesn't do himself any favour in some of the things he says after games.
I know, definitely. He needs to come out, and I would just love him just to be honest. You know, sometimes when we don't play well, say the team didn't play well, so be it. You know what I mean? It is what it is. And sometimes I think he does sort of mollycoddle the players a bit too much. You know, as good as Ferguson was, you know, when they played well, he would tell them they played well. When they played shit, he'd come out and tell them they played shit. I think we need to be very careful about moving Wenger on and who to replace him. You know, yes, things need to change, but I think things need to change from the top. But at the end of the day, for the rest of the games, was it 9 more games left in the season? Let's get behind the team and just see what happens at the end of the season.
Yeah. No, I agree. Any time we can mute Chris, though, it's fantastic, because I definitely think our listener numbers go up. Yeah, look, see, look. He said, he went like that. He's like twice the number of listeners now. Right, anyway, we will end it here, as Chris is sadly, he's, I don't know what he's done to his microphone. We don't want to know. Just thank you to everyone for watching today. Hopefully this turns the season around a little bit for us and we get back on to winning things. Cheer on Watford, everyone. And we will be back on Tuesday night, Chris. Is that correct? Can you give us a wave? Yeah, we'll be back Tuesday after the whole game when we should be through to the next round of the FA Cup. Please, Jesus Christ.
We have to win that game. There's no scenario where if we lose that game, things don't go well.
Yeah. Who is that on the back of the shirt there, Chris? Sorry, I couldn't quite see. No, yeah, you got to be in the camera, mate. Yeah. in the camera. Oh, Ray Parler. Oh, it's only Ray Parler. There we go. Yeah, FA Cup legend, Ray Parler. Right, so yeah, we'll be back with you Tuesday night. I've got no idea who's on, but Chris will be here. He'll probably be muted again. So definitely tune in for that. But we'll see you then. Thanks for coming on today, Carl, as always.
No worries, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And thank you to everyone in the chat and for everyone watching. And for anyone who's listening via iTunes, apologies for the bit where I was doing sign language with Chris because you won't understand what was going on. But yeah, we have been a Blackcap Wonderland radio show. We'll be back with you Tuesday night.
Take care, guys. See you later.
Hello. We've got one question and one question only. What do we think of Tottenham? Yeah. What do we think of shit? Yeah. Thank you. We need one more. It's happened again. Tottenham fan.